This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time now here on RNIB Connect Radio to hear all about an immersive and truly unique accessible dance piece, With Dark With Excessive Bright, which premiered at the Royal Opera House in London during February as part of the Festival of New Choreography by Robert Benet with immersive descriptive audio by Devon Healy. Robert is choreographic associate at the National Ballet of Canada and was the first choreographic apprentice at the Royal Ballet in London. Devon is a theatre artist and associate professor of educational studies at the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education, University of Toronto. And I'm delighted to say that both Devon and Robert join me now from Canada to tell me more about Dark With Excessive Bright. Welcome to RNIB Connect Radio, Devon and Robert.
Thank you.
Toby, thank you so much for having us.
Dark With Excessive Bright is an immersive dance piece and truly unique and probably not like any other dance piece that people would have experienced at the Royal Opera House in London. And it's truly accessible too for blind and partially sighted people. Devon, when did you and Robert first start working on Dark With Excessive Bright, and how did that sort of process start?
Gosh, I think, Rob, you and I started talking about your ballet, I think it was in October of last year, October 2023. Yeah, okay, good. Rob and I had worked together, and really our work has been ongoing since 2021. We met through a mutual colleague and friend of ours, Mitchell Kutchman, who runs Outside the March Theatre in Toronto, where I'm writing an immersive play called Rainbow on Mars. And Mitchell had invited Rob to come in and do some work with us to figure out, okay, how can, you know, we bring dance into my play. And I think that began a love affair from that moment where I began to realize that dance was a perfect and is a perfect expression of blindness as a full-bodied creative engagement with the world. And so from there, Rob and I have been in constant discussion about how can dance help to express the feelings and the perceptions of blindness. And then, you know, I come back with, and how can blindness open up new ways of experiencing and creating dance? And I think that's what led us into Dark With Excessive Bright.
Yeah, I think that captures the journey really beautifully. I mean, we've been in this sort of ongoing collaborative conversation. So when the Opera House came to me and said, how do we make this ballet more widely accessible? The work Devon and I have been doing together was the first thing that came to mind.
And Robert, as a choreographer, was access something that you had always been thinking about at all?
Yeah, I mean, with this project especially, it was all about how to offer people a really flexible experience of ballet. So usually if you come to the ballet, you know, you sit in your seat and take what comes at you for a predetermined period of time. But the nature of Dark With Excessive Bright is that, you know, each person gets a ticket where they can enter the space for 45 minutes, but they can move around, they can sit, they can stand, they can get a bird's eye view from above, they can move through the space, you know, maybe following a favorite dancer. And so it's all for me about creating more ways into ballet and offering a more flexible experience of ballet. And so that sort of is just, you know, the very beginning of an access conversation, but it meant that I felt like it was really right for us to do something really sort of big and exciting with Devon to truly make the work accessible.
And Devon, you say that dance is a true expression of blindness. What do you mean by that?
I think that when I first began to move into the beauty of blindness and begin to feel and learn from blindness, at first, I understood it as living within my eyes, that the eyes were the home of blindness. And of course, I was told this by the people who were in some ways introducing me to blindness. And that is, of course, ophthalmologists often are the first people to kind of tell us, if you understand yourself as blind, tell you about your blindness. And for a long time, I try to live that way, as this, the blindness is a domain of the eyes. But I kept feeling blindness throughout my body. There was something else happening, and I couldn't ignore it. Blindness took hold of me in more ways than one and moved me through the world. And I began to move through that world, the sighted world, blind. And I realized, oh my goodness, it's so much more than the eyes. It's my body, it's my feeling, it's the ways in which I understand and process the world. And I think that in working with both Rob and my partner, who's a visually impaired fight director here in Canada, Nate Bitton, I began to realize, oh my goodness, being more expressive with the body and being able to explore blindness through the body and in a way kind of disturbing that very taken for granted way we understand blindness as solely within the eyes, for me has been such a liberating and creative experience to really dance with blindness, to have my body and blindness be one, has been a beautiful experience and is an ongoing experience that I'm continually learning from. And that learning comes through working with Rob at the ballet.
And how was the sort of the approach to the immersive descriptive audio for Dark with Excessive Bright? Was that something that you collaborated with Robert on, or was that something that, Robert came up with the dance and you were thinking, well, how can I make this accessible? How did that sort of work on the immersive descriptive audio work come about?
One of the animating questions, Toby, of I think my life and work is how to make the perceptions, the feel, the artistry of blindness accessible to blind and sighted people. And I think in order to do that, at first, I needed to disrupt or disturb the ways in which we typically understand accessibility. Nearly all questions of accessibility flow in one direction, and that's how to make a visual event, such as the ballet or theater, accessible to blind people, whereby we fill everyone in, all the blind audience members in, on kind of the visual feast that is in front of us. And that's important, yes. But for me, tapping into how blindness is already present in what we do on stage, how blindness is already present within our bodies, begins with the discussion with Rob, the choreographer of what story are you telling here? How do you feel speaking with the dancers in terms of, okay, this particular moment, what's happening in your body? What muscles are you engaging? What's going through your mind at the moment? What is your breath? Finding ways to weave kind of the most intimate experience of dance, the dancer's body, Rob's imagination, the lighting director's imagination, the sound designers' imagination, tapping into all of that and weaving it into a narrative expression of the dance is how really immersive descriptive audio is coming together. And that includes music, that includes silence, it includes breath. I hope to capture the stories of all involved as a way to invite blindness, invite sighted audience members to experience Binet's work in a completely, I think, new way that really invites the audience and the body of the audience on stage. And that was really the process.
And Robert, for you working with Devon, did it make you sort of look at the way you put a piece of dance together, where you choreograph something differently because of thinking about how that movement's going to be then described to somebody who's blind or partially sighted?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a really beautiful sort of like dramaturgical, I don't even want to say support, but like thrust to the process, because I sort of would take the dances that made up the whole show to Devon when they were kind of half-baked. And we'd review videos and she'd ask me about my intentions and we'd sort of sit together as she wrote the text, and it really was an opportunity and a push for me to clarify my intentions with each sequence And then having sort of done that work with Devin before we went into the final phase of the process gave me a really clear direction as we brought it all together.
Yeah, and I suppose, sort of having a sort of, I suppose, immersive descriptive audio that is maybe looking at the piece from different angles. Was that happening? Because I know you mentioned that the whole idea is, sort of people become closer with the dancers and be able to see things from different levels, to be able to see the view from above, as well as, sort of being right up close with the dancers. Was that something that you had to sort of both work on with the audio description?
Yeah, I mean, the ballet itself is meant to contain so many different expressions, not just my own. You know, the dancers have a lot of creative freedom within each performance so that it unfolds differently every time. So adding Devin's voice to that chorus felt very natural. And also, because there were three stages in the space with three different dances happening on them at all times, we used technology so that depending on which stage people were standing near, they would hear different descriptive audio. So even each audience member who's tuned in to Devin's immersive descriptive audio, they will get a different, essentially, score across the performance depending on where they move and what bits they hear from different sections. So Devin's work to me sort of both fit the structure of the show like a glove and also pushed the artistic content of it to a higher level.
And what sort of feedback did you get from blind or partially sighted peoples who came along to experience dark with excessive bright?
I think, and this was wonderful in working with Paul Adams at the Royal Opera House, who leads all accessibility initiatives there. We were able to have a few test audiences come in to experience the technology and the immersive descriptive audio. And I think in conversation with Rob and Paul, one aspect of the experience that was really important to the three of us is that it began the moment you entered the theater. So the descriptive audio entered your ears, or however you experienced it, if you were reading it on your phone, the moment you entered the lobby and took you through the doors down into the theater to experience this beautiful world that Rob has created. And I think that starting from the moment that you enter, from the feedback that we took, shifted the whole experience, that it really felt like you were first and foremost imagined as being part of the audience. And not only was blindness imagined as being in the theater, but we wanted blindness in the theater. We desired, we yearned for blind audience members to come and experience dark with excessive bright. And we were really intentional in ensuring that, as I say, the minute you entered, you felt as though this is for you. And that, I think, was one of the main points of the feedback that we received, was that the space in and of itself felt like a blind space. And for me, that was extremely important because I've not experienced that before. Yeah, so I think that was at least a point of feedback that for me was the most moving, and something that I'm going to take with me in all that I do from here on in.
And Robert, any feedback from you? Any feedback that you've received that's sort of really stuck in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think people just found exactly what Devin said, that not just it was accessible for them, but that we wanted them there. And I think Devin's work, it really, and I say this not, it's going to sound desperate, like, but her words beg for your attention, not as though she's desperate for your attention, but they invite you into the set of ideas with such ferocity in the way that it feels beautiful when someone sort of wants you so badly. And I think that's what I always feel when I listen to the descriptive audio, is how badly Devin wants to convey the richness of this. And badly feels like a negative word, but it's just so urgent and inviting. And It's like someone's bringing you the most beautiful gift in the world, and it was created just with you in mind.
Do you both think that Dark with Excessive Bright is pushing the boundaries not only on sort of immersive dance experience, but also on access with Devon's immersive descriptive audio?
I mean, Toby, I suppose you're expecting me to say this, but I do. I do. I think what sets immersive descriptive audio apart from traditional expressions of audio description, and also the beautiful creative work that is happening in the field of audio description as well. So I just want to highlight there that I'm not suggesting that IDA should in any way replace. No, there's beautiful work happening. What I do think is distinct about IDA is that for me, describing everything that's happening visually on stage is not the most important thing. In fact, Toby, I feel like I'm going to be, you know, a little kind of ooh here, but I don't feel that the sights on stage are the most important thing to be engaged with at all. I think that they're necessary because that's what's drawing us here in terms of coming to share a space, the theater, but there's so much more that's happening on stage. There's so many unseen and untold stories that, you know, are bubbling just under the surface, and immersive descriptive audio really is trying to express that. So trying to express what has gone unseen but has always been there. And that's where I think that immersive descriptive audio kind of moves away a little bit from descriptive audio, in that the visual artistry is not the most important. It's there, but blindness as the storyteller, blindness as the always already present figure on stage is who really we're engaging. Yeah, so I think it's a bit different. And I think you need audio description, and I think we need descriptive audio. And to just bring nuance to this work as well is what excites me the most.
Will there be a chance for us here in the UK to see Dark with Excessive Bright again, or maybe an online version of the performance?
I mean, we certainly hope so, but that sort of is a decision that lies with the Royal Opera House. It will be coming to Toronto, where we're both based, in the next few years. So we're really excited about that.
And what's next for the two of you? Would you be working again together, perhaps?
Yes.
Yes. I think my dream is to always be in the middle of something with Rob, if he'll have me. But
we're just trying to keep the balls in the air all the time.
Yeah. But I will say, Toby, if I may, coming up summer of 2025 will be the premiere of Rainbow on Mars. So the work that initially brought both Rob and I together will be mounting that through Outside the March as well. And so that this play that I'm writing is a sensory reclamation of blindness, following the journey of a young woman as she's moving into blindness. And the immersive descriptive audio, this is really the show that kind of birthed this idea, is woven into the text. And so it's an experience that collectively, no matter how you understand yourself, be it blind or sighted and all that's in between, you'll be sharing this show together and listening and hearing the descriptive audio as a voice on stage and not something that's kind of outside of it. So Rob and I are really excited to get back to work on that. And hopefully, Toby, we can have another chat in the future.
And hopefully it will come here to the UK as well, perhaps.
You know, that's the goal. So let's keep talking.
Well, thank you so much, Devon and Robert, for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio and for telling me more about Dark with Excessive Bright. And it sounds like an amazing piece of dance that not only is accessible with immersive descriptive audio. Thank you both very much indeed.
Pleasure. Thank you, Toby.
Thank you, Toby.